Amen. Amen. Let's go to John 3. And I'm going to share, I don't know why he told me to do it this way this year, but so far he's told me to share John 3, 16 and 17 in the Message Bible. So you can follow along in whatever translation you have. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. If you don't think your life is whole, check out your believing. Because it says anyone can have a whole and lasting life by believing in him. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. That's why his church is here, to help the world stay right again and again and again and again. But we have to make sure we're not pointing accusing fingers. Amen? Okay. As I've been sharing, you know, with great accomplishments also comes great opposition. And we need to just understand it once and for all so that we won't start whining and stuff when the opposition comes, and we won't get over into giving praise to the devil through our complaining, you know, and not focusing on doing what it was that God told us to do, regardless of what's in front of us, because he knew it was coming. To the point where he told us in Mark 10, in the Message Bible, verse 28, Jesus said, "Mark my words, no one who sacrifices house, brothers, sisters, mother, father, children, land, whatever, because of me and the message will lose out. They'll get it all back, but multiplied many times in homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land, but also in troubles." So just like all that other, those other things are going to be multiplied many times, he said also what? You can say the word. It won't bite you. Okay. And if it does, you can handle it. In John 16, verse 33, according to the Amplified, he said, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, certain, and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and have conquered it for you." See, that's why Proverbs tells us if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. The Amplified says if you're slack, careless in the day of distress, your strength is limited. The Jubilee says, "If thou art slack in a day of tribulation, thy strength shall be reduced." And the Message in the Living Bible get all up in your face. Message Bible says, "If you fall to pieces in a crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place." Okay. And the Living Bible says, "You are a poor specimen if you can't stand the pressure of adversity." A poor specimen of what? Well, we were made in the image and likeness of God. So we should be able to stand up against anything. You know why? He does. And he expects us to stand. Now, we may not like it. It may not feel good. But you know something? If you are prepared, it doesn't matter. It doesn't, see, you know, you think, here goes Pastor Greg giving some more sports analogies. I can't help it. I was an athlete. Okay. But I never hated tough games. I hated practice because our practice was more intense than any other game we played. Why? Because we needed to be ready for anything that came during the game. But if we didn't practice like that, when game time comes and something weird happens, you're not prepared. You go to pieces. And we didn't want that. So if we're going to the basket taking a layup, your teammate tried to put you through the wall in practice. Why? Because that's what your opponent is going to try and do in the game. So when you got hit like that in the game, you didn't miss the layup. Why? You were used to it. You knew how to handle it. Well, we have to have that mindset with the word. We have to know it. We have to understand it. We have to put it to use all the time. So when adversity shows up, it doesn't change your game plan. You just keep going with and running the plays that your coach has given you. I never had a coach that said, this is the play unless. He said, right, you know that athlete, am I telling the truth? He didn't stop in the middle and say, no. I didn't expect them to do that, so we got to change up. No, we practiced this. We practiced it, and now it's game time. And we have to get like that with the word. Don't care what comes. The word is the word is the word, and it will stand. Okay, I'm not going to tell you Micah's joke again. You've all heard it. You know, but I want to ask you a question. What does a baby have to do before he can walk, he or she can walk? They have to crawl, but they have to do something else. They have to stand. They can't walk if they never learn how to stand. They have to learn how to stand. Well, guess what? So do we. Crawling is fine. Rolling around can be fun. But sooner or later, you're going to have to stand up so you can advance. Tell your neighbor, you have to learn how to stand. Okay. See, if we're going to get to that place of God's perfect will for us, we're going to have to learn how to stand. See, I thought I knew how to stand until some adversity hit. And then I found out I really didn't know how to stand, because I knew of standing. I knew I was supposed to stand. I've heard people say they were standing. But I didn't understand what standing meant. And I'll tell you something. A lot of us don't. And that's why we find ourselves in the fixes that we're in. You remember those itinerant Jews? And I think in Ephesians, not Ephesians, in Acts 6, the seven sons of Sceva. All right. They thought they understood. They went around and spoke to an evil spirit. In the name of Jesus, that Jesus Paul preaches, come out. I mean, evil spirit was like, excuse me? He said, I know Jesus, okay? I know him, all right? And I heard about Paul. But who are you? And you know something? They didn't have an answer. They didn't answer. They didn't answer. Bible said doesn't say they said, well, we're sons of Sceva. I mean, that may have helped them if they just said that. But they didn't know. They heard about Jesus. They heard about people casting out demons in his name. But they didn't understand what it was all about. So they didn't know how to use it. They didn't know what it meant to them. And that's where we are, too many of us. We hear about it, we know of it, but we don't really understand how it relates to us. We'll say the right words. We're very good at Christian lingo. Very good. But we don't understand. what it really means. We don't really understand what we are saying, and we have to get to that place. If we're going to overcome adversity, we have to learn how to stand. It can't just be a phrase. Too many people say, "Well, I'm standing on the word." What does that mean? You know. Oh no, I'm standing. Yeah, and what's happening? Nothing. But you're standing. No, we got to understand what that means. Matthew 13, I thought this was an interesting translation. Matthew 13, verse 19, in the Message Bible. Strange, I don't recall ever reading this particular verse in this translation. It says, when anyone hears the news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. So the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. All it does is it stays on the surface. You didn't take it in. Proverbs 4 tells us that the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Skillful and godly wisdom. For skillful and godly wisdom is the principal thing. But we forget the next part. And with all you have gotten, get understanding, discernment, comprehension, and interpretation. See, we may know kingdom principles. We may know them. Or we may know of them. But if we don't understand them, we won't be able to operate properly in them. So knowing's not enough. We have to get the understanding and then convert that understanding into working knowledge so we can make this thing work. Let me give you this little illustration. Donovan, would you come and help me, please? You all know Donovan. This ladder represents the word. Okay? Now, God has told Donovan, okay. God's told Donovan that he wants him to go up to that speaker. And Donovan's trying to get there on his own. Go up there. Okay. He can't make it, but you know what? Donovan heard, see that? Busted. No, I'm only kidding. No. But Donovan has heard about the word. And he knows that you can stand on the word. Come on, stand on. But see, he doesn't understand it. He doesn't understand how to skillfully use the word. So even though he's standing on the word, he still can't get to where God wants him to go. But see, he has to take time and study this word and examine this word and learn how to make it work. Okay, now he'll stand. Just take one step. Okay. He's standing, he'll say, wait a minute, I'm getting closer. But as his understanding of how to use this increases, and he knows that this word will help propel him the way he wants to go, he becomes more confident and he goes even higher. And he goes even higher. And he turns around and he's where he's supposed to be because he understands now just how you're supposed to use this. He didn't know it before. We have to understand how we're using, how to use the word and use it properly. Thank you. Give him another hand. I'll just leave this. That's not going to stay there every time I teach. It's not like the shovel. But we have, do you understand? Do you, are you starting to understand? We have to know, we have to get the understanding, or we're not going to know that the word will help you. But it's designed to help you get to where God wants you to go, not where you want you to go. See, so many, too many times we say we're standing on the word and nothing's happening because we're standing against what God has told us to do because we don't want to do it. So we'll do something else that's spiritual that may be nice, may benefit a lot of people, but it's not what God told you. And you're wondering why the word's not working. You're wondering why you're having a hard time doing it. You don't understand how you're supposed to use the word. Now, look at Ephesians 6. Because I'm like, why do people say I'm standing? And in verse 10, read 10 to 13. That's where I find that it comes from. You may find different one, but this is where I find it comes from, because this is where I first heard back in 1984 when I got born. I was probably about a month or two old in Christ. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." And we read that and we get excited. And rightfully so, the word should excite us. And so we say, "Oh, I'm standing. I'm standing." But what's the first word in Ephesians 6:10? Finally. Finally. What does finally mean? End result, that's it. But doesn't it also mean that there's some other things that came before? There's some other things that happen where you can go, finally. All right. We forget about those things. This says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You want to read the whole book of Ephesians and find out everything that it was talking about before it got to finally. But here's just some. In Ephesians 4, and I use different translations. I think this is God's word translation. Live the kind of life which proves that God has called us. If you're not doing that, you can't get the finally. Be humble and gentle in every way. Be patient with each other and lovingly accept each other through the peace that ties you together. Maintain the unity that the Spirit gives. Behave like we're one body and one Spirit. Know that God's favor has been given to each of us. So then get rid of lies, speak the truth to each other. Be angry without sinning. Don't give the devil any opportunity to work. Stop stealing. Don't say anything that would hurt another person. Speak only what is good so that you can give help wherever it's needed. Don't give God's Holy Spirit any reason to be upset with you. All these things, and we haven't gotten out of verse chapter 4 yet. Okay. Get rid of your bitterness, hot tempers, anger, cursing, hatred. Be kind and sympathetic to each other. in Ephesians 5, it says, watch what God does, then you do it. All right? Observe how Christ loved us and love like that. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting you on a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity. Don't gossip. Don't talk dirty or silly. Don't waste your time on useless busy work. Take no part in and have no fellowship with the fruitless deeds and enterprises of darkness. It means don't dabble in the world. Don't live carelessly. Don't drink too much wine. Cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. What does that mean? No, everyone's saying 99 bottles of beer on the wall. I mean, no. Think spiritual songs, all right? Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent one to another. Wives, every wife, raise your hand. Support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. Husbands, raise your hand. Go all out in your love for your wives exactly as Christ did for the church. Then we get to chapter 6. Children, raise your hand. The right thing for you to do is to obey your parents, those whom God has set over you. So yes, they're the boss of you. Okay. Honor your mother and your father. Parents, raise your hand. Hold hands. Take a deep breath. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Bring them up with loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. See, if we're not doing that, we're not ready for finally. So, and if we're not ready for finally, how are we going to stand? Employees, how many of you are employees? Do what you're employed to do with the proper sense of respect and responsibility as service rendered to Christ himself. Any employers? Okay. Be as conscientious and responsible towards those who serve you as you expect them to be towards you. Neither misusing the power over them that has been put in your hands, or forgetting that you're responsible yourself to a heavenly employer who makes no distinction between employer or employee. See, all of these things we have to do before we can get to finally. And if we are not doing them, we won't get to finally, and we won't be able to stand. Because it says finally, after I've shared with you all of those things and you're doing them, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And I'm saying, wait a minute. If I'm not doing all of those things, then I can't be strong in the Lord. Because if I were strong in the Lord, I'd be doing them. It'd be automatic. Something would happen and I just, bang, the Lord comes out, not me. Because I would have then truly died. And my life would truly be hidden in Christ. But if me comes out, I need to get stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Benson commentary, because I wanted to see what other folks were saying about that term, be strong in the Lord. Says, since every relation in life brings along with it corresponding duties and requires vigor and resolution in the discharge of them, whatever therefore the circumstance or situation may be which you are in, see that you do not rely on your own strength. Sounds like Proverbs to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Said, but apply to the Lord, that means pray, for his strength and arm yourselves with his might. So that means when we're doing that, we're loving the way Christ loves. We're obedient children. We're forgivers. We're doing everything that the Bible tells us we should be doing. We're doing it. We're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But if we don't understand that, then we're not going to do it properly. See, we'll give people what they deserve and call it, give it a Christian kind of flavor. What do I mean by that? Okay, you won't get indignant with anyone. You'll get righteously indignant. Okay. That's what you say. I'm righteously indignant. No, you're mad. Okay. Just tell the truth. Okay. You know. The Lord told me to say that. Yeah, which Lord? We agree. The Lord told you. But was it little L or capital L? That's why it means rightly dividing the word, discerning the difference between good and evil. If we're strong in the Lord, we'll do those things. Well, God said it's okay to be angry. He said, yeah, but he said, sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And see, we just think that's for married folks. No, it's not. Well, how does it apply to me? It's why are you not speaking to this person for 3 weeks? You let the sun go down on your wrath for 3 weeks and didn't get it right. We forget the scripture says, forgive as quickly and completely as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. If we're going to understand being strong in the Lord, we're going to understand that principle and operate in it. Otherwise, we're not going to get to the place where God wants us until we develop that kind of understanding. Verse 11, back in Ephesians 6, says, put on the whole armor of God. Why do you think Paul said that? Why did he just say put on the armor of God? We'll put on the part we think we need, or we'll put on the part that we want. We may not like the breastplate. Why? Because it means there's some things that I want to do I can't do. So, okay, 4 out of 5 is pretty good, right? No, he said, put on the whole armor. If we understand what that means, then it's never a question of whether I like this or don't like it. It's I'm obedient. And my father, it's like folks who used to go to school where they wore uniforms. And it's something that my wife told me. She went to a Catholic school, and they had, you know, minimums for skirts. And they'd go out of the house like that, and they'd get out of the house down the street, and they'd roll them up. Okay. That's what they do. You know. Or, you know, your parents think, no, you got to wear a shirt and a tie. You have your T-shirt on, your undershirt over that. Put on your shirt, you get to school, you take everything off, and you go walking around like one of the guys. If you were like me, you turn around and there's mommy at the school. I'm like, oh, I'm dead. Okay. We have to understand that we're to put on the whole armor. Say whole armor. And if I don't have on the whole armor, I won't be able to stand. And some of us are not standing because we don't have our armor on, for whatever reason. See, if I want to get angry with someone, I have to sit down and take off my peace shoes. Because as long as I have my feet shod with the gospel of peace, I can't be angry. So if I want to be angry, I got to take it off. So whenever I walk around and find myself angry or blowing up at someone, I'm not fully dressed in my armor. I've taken some off. If I start questioning whether or not I'm saved because I'm listening to some other nonsense, I've taken off my helmet of salvation. I've taken it off. If I allow circumstances in which I feel in order to get, only way to get out of it is to lie, I've removed that girdle of truth from around my waist. So when we get to the part that says, having done all, that means all of those things before finally, and putting on all of the armor, having done all of that, stand. But I haven't done all of that. So guess what I can't do? Stand. And if I don't develop the understanding of that, I won't understand why I can't stand. And I'll start believing that God's word is not true, or God has these special people that he'll allow his word to work for them, and I'm not one of them. So I might as well just do, you know, I'd say, if it feels good, do it. Pay a price for the rest of your life. See, they don't tell you that part of it. Okay. Something else it said. In verse 12, I didn't print. I do this the old-fashioned way. I use the paper Bible. Okay. Ephesians 6, I want verse 14, I think. That's where I was. No. I was looking for it says to withstand. Yeah. 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. We have to be able to withstand. Do we know what withstand means? What does it mean? What do you think it means? Come on out. Now think about it. If we don't know what it means, how can we do it? Okay. He said, so that we can withstand. That means you oppose successfully. You resist successfully. Not you resist for a little bit and then cave in, but you withstand. No, I'm not moving. No. And once you demonstrate you can withstand, then you can stand. Because you've demonstrated nothing is going to move you. Nothing. So I'm standing. But see, we need to understand something else. Standing doesn't mean stationary. See, when I'm standing, I'm not letting anything that the enemy brings stop me from getting to the place God called me. Period. That's what it is. And if we don't learn how to do that, we'll cave in the moment any adversity shows up. We have to understand what it means to stand and learn how to do it. There are many prerequisites to it, folks. The easiest one to do is live like you are a believer. Period. That sums everything up. If we're living like we're believers, we get the finally. We have on all of the armor. We withstand. And it doesn't matter what comes. We don't care about what comes. As a matter of fact, we dare something to come. Because you're going to run right into my sword of the spirit. See, that's another piece that we leave home. Why? We don't want to say anything. Why? Well, you know, I'm a laid-back guy. I'm quiet. Yeah, you got footprints all over your back from the enemy. You got circumstances up the gazoo because you won't open your mouth and use the sword of the Spirit. And then the truth comes out. I don't really know what to say. Okay, that's honest. Study, show yourself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Meditate in the word day and night, observing to do all that's written. We need to understand that. And understand how to make it work. And that means you just do what it says. You lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You see someone sneeze and say, have you gone to the doctor? No. I mean, that's just, you taking your medication today? I mean, those things are fine, but you have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So I've never done that before. Why not? I could understand that if you've never encountered any sick people. How many in here have encountered sick people? Nobody? Remember, your loins are girt about with truth. Okay. So how many of you encountered sick people? Okay. So we know that's not the reason. So if we've encountered sick people and we're not laying hands on them, you have to ask yourself, why not? He said, well, I wasn't led to do it. Jesus already told you to do it. How many of you have met someone that wasn't saved? Did you witness to them? You look, okay. Did everybody witness to them? Let me see your hands. No, I'm not going to look. Well, I wasn't led to witness to them. But those weren't, that wasn't part of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to some of the people. Oh, it does say all? Do we understand that? Then if we understand it, then why aren't we doing it? Oh, we're in a restaurant. Or I'm on the bus. I'm on the, so you know, there's some crazy people on the subway. I can't just start talking about. What better atmosphere? Worst that'll happen is they'll think you're one of them. Okay. But folks, yes, I'm being lighthearted with this part of it. But we have to understand this. Because I want to tell you before I finish, I want to tell you why we have an issue withstanding. Because if we can't withstand, we won't stand. Look at James 1. I'll go to James 4 first. King James says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Submit yourself to God. Withstand the devil. Submit to God, withstand the devil. You can't withstand the devil if you erase submit to God. Why not? Because you're in the power of his might, not yours. And if you erase him, then you're in the power of no might, because it's all yours. The Message Bible says, so let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Because you're letting God work his will, God's will, in you. The New Living Bible says, humble yourself before God. Then you'll be able to resist the devil. After you humbled yourself, then you can resist the devil. James 1. Now we'll go there. In the Amplified Bible, because if you want to know why you can't withstand, verse 14. Each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, or passion. That's why we have to continue the process of renewing our minds, because we'll get to the place where we will want to do things the world's way. The moment we make that choice, we can no longer withstand. And if we can't withstand, then I can't stand. And I'm no longer at finally. I've backed up from finally. All right? God's Word translation says, everyone is tempted by his own desires as they lure him away and trap him. Bible in Basic English. Every man is tested when he is turned out of the right way by the attraction of his desire. See, you don't become attracted until you desire. See, that's what happens. You'll see something and you'll desire it. Now you become attracted to it. And you start thinking of ways to get it. You can't withstand. You can't stand. You've backed up from finally. And you can't overcome adversity. Back to Ephesians 6:13. Having done all, doesn't say intending to do all. Doesn't say, but you meant to do all. It says, having done all. We have to understand that means we are required to do everything. Everything that we read before, finally. Everything. Having done everything. Think of areas in which you told yourself you're standing, and you ask yourself, have you done all of those things? You don't have to answer it out loud, but you need to know. Are you allowing God to work his will in you? Are you doing everything it said in Ephesians? See, when Paul said stand, you know, that according to the Corinthians, make firm, establish, keep intact, uphold, sustain, stand immovable, continue safe and sound, be of a steadfast mind, one who does not hesitate and does not waver. See, that's what he was talking about when he said stand. So we can read those verses. We can say, put on the whole armor of God so you may be able to be of a steadfast mind, keep intact, uphold, and sustain your authority so you can continue safe and sound, unharmed, and you'll be ready, prepared, and not hesitate or waver when you encounter the wiles of the devil. So you have to understand what the word means and then apply that understanding. Does this make sense? Okay. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, be of a steadfast mind. Having done all, keep intact, uphold and sustain your authority. Having done all, continue safe and sound, unharmed. Having done all, you'll be ready, prepared, and not hesitate or waver. That's what it means, folks. That's what we have to understand. See, it gives you a different meaning once you have an understanding of what it's saying. It means something different. And you start seeing it in a different light, and you start realizing, I can do this. This is not that hard. And you keep doing it regardless of what you encounter. Folks, I have far more to share than I have time. So that's just a good place for me to just unhook, because if I start on the next section, we'll be here until 9 o'clock. No, not 9 o'clock. Well, 9 o'clock a.m. Okay. Because after I started, I told Minister Dolores, I had over 17 pages of notes. Yeah. 17 pages, because I need to understand what it means to stand. I need to understand everything that's required before I get to finally. And then after finally, I still have some more to do. I have to make sure my armor's intact. Every single piece. Every single piece. Another one, I'll just say this and then I'm done. But too many times we throw down our shield. So we're not operating in faith. What makes that so terrible, not only won't we be able to stand, but now we're not pleasing God. Because the scripture is clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And how are we going to continue living? Because the just shall live by faith. But we allow ourselves to take our shield and throw it down. We can't do that. We can't do that. Finally, we have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, having on the whole armor of God, withstanding, resisting successfully the devil, so that we can continue on our path, on the path that God laid out for us. I'm done. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise tonight, Lord, and every day, Lord, all day. Thank you, Lord, for sharing with us this evening, giving us some understanding so that we'll understand. And now having the understanding, we can turn that into action. You've already told us that you have great things in store for us. You already told us that we're going to encounter great troubles. And you already told us not to be concerned about them, because none of them will harm us, and you have actually conquered them already for us. We just have to make sure we understand what that means and act accordingly. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for illumining in our minds every opportunity that we have to make sure that we've done all. We thank you, Lord. We're growing. We're getting stronger every day. And we're going to do this thing to your glory, to your honor, to your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.